I tell you what, I do know where to start. Something happened years ago. Something's been bothering me, and it's been about 3 weeks. And when something bothers me, and it was something your predecessor said, former general, Congressman Bill Inyart, when I asked him in a couple of years, 3 or 4 years back, about dysfunction in Washington, D.C., he said to me, well, there's a lot of people out here that really think they're very clever.
Yeah.
And okay. I've been thinking this, and I don't know why, but I can't shake that, and that congressman's inside at that time, that there's a lot of these guys out there, and he was talking about his own party, too, by the way.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, you can talk about each party. First off, remember, it is a unique group of people who are elected to represent us in Congress. It was set up that way. But also remember that we all have the base principle and beliefs in our Constitution and everything, or I hope we do. But some of the districts are, you know, you've got districts. Remember, a lot of the concern that we have in trying to fix a lot of issues is even in our own party of not wanting to come and fix the issue because their attitude would be just throw it out completely. And that's not a good answer. But if you talk to their district, they would prefer to have little or no government at all. And anything besides protecting our borders and dealing with national defense, you know, and even though that is true to a point, there are certain things you must be able to do, and they would not want to do any of that. Whenever we're trying to deal with the ACA and to change it, cure it, fix it, all of that, according to their constituents said, do nothing, let it collapse and get rid of it. That's it.
And that would hurt a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. You know, you've got to be wise. There has to be a sensible change, and I believe that that's the path we were headed down. First off, when you have people argue from the right and argue from the left, and neither one likes it, except for the people that are trying to work on it and trying to fix, you know, in making legislation, if everybody's a little upset and didn't get all that they wanted, then it usually works pretty good.
Yeah, I kind of get the idea.
That sounds terrible, but it is true.
Yeah, and you know, I got the idea from when I was talking to Inyart that he wasn't just talking about politicians and elected officials. There's a lot of people in the mix all the time stirring that think they're very clever, and they're not. When it comes to the Affordable Health Care Act, United Healthcare, first quarter profits up 35%. How do they do it? They cut their precipitation in the Affordable Care Act, and they're probably going to do some more because it was literally they were having record losses. This is indicative of that. And you know what? The insurance company's record losses don't bother me nearly so much as my own. Congressman Bost, a short time ago, we were at a memorial ceremony for a mutual friend, and Mike asked me that I've got stories about the Affordable Care Act and prices and how it's affecting people to send that information to him. This last Saturday, I sent him my information after I compiled it in preparation for the taxes, and I'm PO'd.
Yeah. And that's what we see. And that's why we have to do something, Tom. You know, it is a case where my hope is we go back this next week. We have a conference call on Saturday. We go back in on Tuesday. I believe that they've been working the different groups. You know, a lot of these guys that have taken that no way position are taking positions now after being back in their district that they're going to have to save face. So, you know, we're going to have to put the 215 votes on it and move it because dealing with and doing the things that we need to do in bucket number one, and you and I have talked about that, which is reconciliation that we're trying to get done, moves to the Senate. If it still has problems, which it will, the Senate tweaks it. We get this done, and it actually, the savings that it provides also then lets us come back and do tax reform.
See, I was getting ready to ask, which came first, the chicken or the egg, tax reform or the Affordable Care Act?
If we don't do the Affordable Care Act in the way that we're talking about, you don't recoup the savings that is necessary that allows tax reform and the budget to work. That's what people need to know.
Munchkin's saying August is pretty hard to get it done by then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, but we have to.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to. And you know, that was the argument of where I think it's funny because people say, well, the national news says, well, they're going home on vacation. I don't know if you know this or not, but I didn't come home on vacation. I came back to my district, and I've been all over the district going to, and dealing with issues and everything like that.
Well, I know, so
but
I know
there, she did. There would have been that suggestion that we would have stayed and worked on it, but I think that it was good to send people back to their districts so they can talk to their constituents.
Right. You know, you've been taking a lot of flack about the availability during your time back home. Matter of fact, you wrote an editorial letter about it.
I think it's amazing that I've taken flack, but if you look, every day I have been either meeting with constituents, meeting with groups, dealing, you know, I've been in Cairo. By the time it's said and done, I will have been in all of the 12 counties, and that's being very available. And I don't know how more available, you know, because I actually think it's vitally important to be available. But let's be real clear, Tom, on what they're asking me to be available for, because we've had that conversation. They're wanting me to have one of those town halls where they come and scream.
They want, you know, I literally was thinking about this the other day, and Mike and I was thinking,
meeting with everybody all over the district, but I'm not doing that, I'm not available.
Because, quite frankly, you just don't feel like being a pinata.
Well, the thing is, Tom, I want to get true information from my constituents. That's why I've been all over the Metro East, all over deep southern Illinois, and I've been meeting with health insurance people that are in and dealing with job creators. I have met with groups and organizations. I've met with a chamber of commerce. I have met with individual community leaders and done that 6 and 7 and 8 meetings a day all over the district. But that is how I'm getting information. If you have one of the meetings that they're asking for, now remember I have teletown halls, but if you have one of those meetings that they're asking for, then what you end up having is you have a lot of people standing there screaming and holding up red cards and holding up signs, and that information, that's not good information to take back to argue for your constituents. What I'm doing does give me that information, does allow me that opportunity, and you know what? A majority of the people that are in the district agree with what I'm saying. Go and do the meetings that need to be done and that you can actually receive benefit from, that is quality information that you can take back and represent the people of the Illinois 12th.
Mike, another item here, and that is the rumble of drums, whether it's North Korea, whether it's a Syrian gas attack, whether it is Alaskan bombers, Russian bombers coming in towards Alaska and being turned away by Strategic Air Command. There's been a lot of things going on. The change, I thought, of the task force in relationship to the Korean Peninsula, I think, is interesting. That's news today. Mike, right now, a lot of people, you know, the number one trending search term is World War III.
I know. And let me tell you this, that we have to, and you and I have talked about this, over the last 8 years, we have weakened our position in a lot of the areas around the world because we would not stand up to a red line. We would not, but I believe that our biggest problem and biggest concern right now is Korea. And the reason being is because if you're dealing with Russia, you keep them in front of you. You pay attention to what they're doing. If you're going to trust, you better verify. But when you're dealing with Korea, you're dealing with a person who we're not sure is stable, and that is a huge concern because you know what got us through the Cold War was, though we disagreed with Russia, both had wise leaders that weren't willing to pull the trigger and had the concern. The big fear that I have now is these countries like Iran and Korea that have nuclear weapons. And that's a very big concern.
What we have to do, Mike, is alter the perception that was created over the last 8 years back to an America with military strength and a willingness to use it. The perception of U.S. military and its administration and where the line is with them is being redefined on a worldwide theater.
Mm-hmm. And because we're doing that, and there are two ways we need to do it. One is, you need to have, which that's what we have in this president. He if he says something, he is being straightforward about it. He also has turned it back over to our generals and those who understand the countries we're dealing with. Remember that what he has with General Mattock, he has someone who knows and understands the history of every nation we're dealing with and every mindset of those nations. And where it is, understand that many of the nations we're dealing with, the only thing they understand is if you're stronger, then they listen. And so we have to make sure we have that position. Now, remember, Ronald Reagan very seldom had to do any firing, but they knew the power was there, and that was when we had some of our strongest positions in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, sometimes people say perception is reality, and I always kind of balk at that statement. This is one case where it is reality. I mean, mutually assured destruction is a policy. I mean, so right. When you look there. Now, when it goes to moving forward, there are a lot of things that people are waiting for. We talked about tax reform. We talked about the Affordable Care Act and a replacement, you know, and a lot of, you know, people saying, well, what are the Republicans going to do? They'd already put, I think Shimkus told me, Congressman Shimkus, either 7 or 8 repeal bills had been placed on Obama's desk. A lot of people say, well, just sign one of those. But of course, the creation of the net, we've got another attack in Fresno. Doesn't look like it was a terrorist attack, but of course, that constantly is hanging overhead in the Syrian gas attack. You know, sure. Because here we do, since you and I are both historians, mm-hmm. Isn't America at this point starting to do the same mistakes that were made Nazi-era Germany when you decide two fronts? When we are in this many fronts with this many...
But remember this. We have been, and that's the sad reality too, and we have been on the balance of those at least two fronts, whether it was Iraq, Iran, when fighting the global war on terror, because you were, but actually now you're looking at possibly three, because you've got the question of Russia and Syria and their involvement there, and what we have in the Syrian leader that would gas his own people. Then you have Korea, and then you have the same war on terror dealing with Iran, Iraq,
ISIS,
Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's three fronts, and that's very scary, especially at a time when we have seen a reduction of our investment into our military. And that's another thing about the budget that we have to look at. And though I'm concerned about many of the proposals of reductions and cuts that the president's budget came out, which I want to also tell your listeners that, remember that that's just a suggestion. Congress actually does the budget. And so as we move forward, we'll be looking at all of those areas. But we must remember, we only have about one-third of the budget that is discretionary funds, which also includes the military, because two-thirds of the budget are consumed by Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all of those issues, and so we have to deal with that one third of the budget, and we have to make our nation secure, and that's tough at a time whenever we've turned down over the last 8 years so much of the military as we have.
Mike, I only have a couple of minutes left, and I'm sorry I left this to last because I don't want people to think this is not important, and that is, you made some very strident comments in relationship to how the Carroll Housing Authority issue should be handled, and questions about, and I've had the same question. When I read a story that says we paid them this money to not work because it saved us money, and when you read a statement, you have to read it like four times to go, what? That this is a mess, and you basically come out and said, look, somebody ought to be going to jail here.
They are. They should. And let me tell you, that I have expressed that a week ago, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago this coming Friday. So before I left D.C., I had a phone conversation with Dr. Carson. And I told him, I said, we've got to try to do everything we can. And I had asked him to come there. Things are, I don't know now what the situation is. But I asked him, but I did say, you need to understand that this was a crime. And he said, my people are very aware of that. And he said, and that investigation and things are pending, but I can't tell you about everything. And I said, okay, I understand that. Because somebody does need to go to jail time. This is a blatant abuse of what was supposed to be a program that was supposed to be providing for our most needy, and instead they let them live in dilapidated housing that can endanger their health, their mental health, and everything. And it was terrible. And like I said, they need to go to some. The people are involved that abuse the people to this level must be prosecuted, and they need to go to jail.
After reading some of the stories, I'd have a tendency, I always kind of thought, oh, gosh, you wonder how this will end. And I guess we'll begin to watch, and I'm really curious about those Carson statements. So thanks for sharing those with us this morning. Yeah. Congressman Mike Boss. Mike, I wish we had more time, man.
I do, too. And just so you know, regardless of what they say, I am out. I am busy, and I am communicating with the constituents. So.
Well, a matter of fact, I think, didn't you just give back a Bronze Star? Yes, it was a medal yesterday.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah. This man, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
He and his family, that was actually after having a meeting with about 40 of the people that are involved in economic development and business growth in the Metro East. And then we went over and met with this gentleman. And what's really wild is that this is how sometimes paperwork is. But all those years ago in Vietnam, he was due the Bronze Star, and the paperwork was lost. And through a research of Rodney Davis's office, we do this quite often, but Rodney Davis's office combined with us, we went and discovered this because his daughter had brought it up. And so we checked, and sure enough. And we're not talking, you know, I said this statement whenever we were giving him, he was being presented to this, the Bronze Star.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I said, the only medal I had in the Marine Corps, got from the Marine Corps, was a good conduct medal. That's for showing up and being on time and being good, okay?
Right.
That's that a boy. You don't get a Bronze Star by just showing up.
Right. I always,
they are great heroes.
I tell you, my dad in Vietnam, I'd kind of sneak down into his study, and I'd take out his medals and look at them and put them back so in such a way that I'd not be caught so I could go back and look at them again. I derived an immense amount of pride for that. 8:43, 17 before the hour. Congressman Mike Boss. You know, I want to talk about that painting of cops as pigs and the state representative in Missouri, the representative who sues to keep it up at the White House, but we're out of time.
Yeah, well,
and probably
so you know,
you're in my
that,
best
he won't
interest.
Win that.
Yeah, the judge ruled against him yesterday afternoon, fortunately. And I kept thinking, and from Missouri, no less.